Warning.
You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the Monday of the week that the January 6th hearings begin. That starts on Thursday. But in deference to our upcoming birthdays, Dominic, and the entirety of June, our birthday month, Pride Month, every month, a lot of other things, but most importantly, our birthday month.
Yes.
I'm already celebrating the January 6th hearings. I'm already gleeful. I'm already excited. I mean, hell, Fancy Brian's wearing bright red. He's like a walking billboard over there.
Something's exciting. It's about damn time, right? You know what I'm saying? And it is unfortunate in the sense that this is, you know, a legislative committee hearing and not a trial. But perhaps, you know, if they do their job and the Department of Justice continues to work their way up the ladder, now that they've gotten Navarro and now that they've indicted the Proud Boys on seditious conspiracy, they're getting a little closer to the Orange Goddess, God, whatever.
Orange is the new black?
Apparently. He looks good in orange.
He'd look great at Club Fat. You know, just bend over and spread, former Mr. President.
I just wonder what his hair is going to look like when he's not able to, you know, spend all that time.
Do you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
I've seen
the Russian character Red, who
no
hadn't dyed her hair anymore. It's going to look like Trump. I mean, literally, Trump will look like this actress in her prison garb. That I think it will be very similar. Or though maybe I'm just dreaming big.
I have big dreams and big expectations. Apparently, so does Michael Cohen on this topic. Remember the fixer. We'll get to your calls momentarily. Be patient, folks. 844-967-2789.
Now, I would caution the source. The fixer is, you know, part of the reason, apparently, the Manhattan DA didn't go forward is because the fixer, Michael Cohen, was sort of overstating his position with the organization, perhaps.
Sure. But the reason Michael Cohen is in this particular conversation, as found on the Raw story, he, in his podcast, interviews, has a conversation with the former impeachment lawyer, Norm Eisen. And that is the conversation that when we get to the January 6th committee, I think is relevant here. Both men speculated on whether Trump ultimately be held responsible. I do think that Merrick Garland is going to. Well, there's already signs that they're working their way up the ladder, said Eisen, citing the indictment of Navarro for refusing to comply with the subpoena. Cohen asked why they even need Navarro after they were able to collect over 2,300 text messages exchanged with Meadows on January 6th and the lead up to it. What more do you need, asked Cohen. I don't think the DOJ is any better now than under Trump. Eisen said that he doesn't agree and that one can't judge the DOJ by looking at the FOIA case for Cohen. Garland is a man of integrity, Eisen said. I believe that the career prosecutors are investigating these cases are going to take a hard look because the evidence substantiates the existence of federal crimes against Trump and those around him. And if he does, they're going to make a recommendation. He's not going to play politics. Yeah, of course Trump is the guy. Trump is the goal. That, of course it is. And if they do some sort of, there's some other reporting out, maybe if they do like a split screen, you know, with a date stamp and time stamp, see what's going on when his cops are getting attacked, and another screen showing what Trump was doing at that exact
You mean like the
moment.
White House photography, which apparently exists and will be utilized as part of the exhibits at the J6 hearings?
Right.
Now, you'll have to use theater of the mind if you're listening along on the radio. Right here, we're going to broadcast it live starting this Thursday. June 9th at 7 p.m. Please tune in, including you, Gary from Sussex. How you been, Gary? Welcome back, man.
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Good, man. You looking forward to this big Thursday and the January 6th hearings?
Yeah, right, sure.
You'll watch, though, won't you, Gary? You're a curious sort. No, you're a...
No, I won't be watching. Because
why
I'll
not?
I'll be working.
Well, it's in prime time, Gary. It's nighttime, man. I know you're a hard-working dude, but man's got to quit for dinner and eventually the January 6th hearing starting at 7 p.m. Otherwise, take him with. We're playing them on the radio for you, Gary.
I'll watch reruns of Last Man Standing or something like that.
Gary, aren't you curious? I mean, aren't you concerned? I mean, today's the 70th anniversary of D-Day, man. We went to war. We sent kids off to storm the beaches of Normandy to kill the fascists. And we got that attitude right now.
Hey, the reason I'm calling was because your last hour, you were sitting there talking about people making comments about Trump, talking about losers and suckers. Okay.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you know, anybody can say anything with anybody.
But that's distasteful as a veteran, Gary. I find it distasteful. A, as a taxpayer, he called me a sucker for paying my taxes. And B, as a guy who signed up to serve my nation. Now, I felt quite fortunate I didn't get sent to a war zone and I didn't have to die for this nation. But that certainly wouldn't have made me a sucker, Gary.
Yeah, but do you honestly believe in your heart that he said that?
Yes.
It was reported by some guy in the department saying that he heard something, and then he repeated to somebody else, and the next thing you know, well, first of all, there's no way in the world that any president would ever go out there and say that about...
Really, would a president go out on the stump, Gary, and say about John McCain, I like those that didn't get caught? You think that'd be presidential words? You think Trump would say something like that?
John McCain and Trump... This was personal between
those guys. What do you mean it's personal? So what? Did he say it or didn't he say it?
He was captured. I like people that weren't captured.
There you go. Thank you, Brian. You think that's good?
They absolutely hated each other.
What?
It was personal between John McCain. No, but do you honestly think that he would go out there and stand in front of a bunch of dead soldiers and say they're all suckers and losers? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Let me ask you a question. What is it about Donald Trump's behavior, mannerisms, personality, anything he's shown you in the entirety of his existence on this earth would make you think that he wouldn't say that?
He has issues. Everybody knows that. He has issues. He opens his mouth and says the stupidest stuff. I wasn't going to vote for him when he was talking about the female, Kalarina or whatever her name is.
But you did, didn't you, Gary?
And he said, would you like to look at a face like that? I was sickened by that guy.
Carly Fiorina. He said, look at her. She wouldn't be my first choice or something of that sort, right?
No, he said, would you like to look at a face like that every day? That was ridiculous.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell you.
I know that, but when it was between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, oh my gosh, you know. But I would
even now,
that,
Gary.
Okay, how about when it was between Joe Biden and Donald Trump? Who'd you vote for then, Gary?
Well,
after you knew. You knew, Gary. You had 4 years experience. You knew what he was capable of. Who'd you vote for, Gary? Be honest.
Yeah, I would vote for him again, but he's not my top choice. He would the governor.
The devil's not running, Gary.
DeSantis is the guy that I would be voting for, not Donald Trump.
Trump. Americans who died in the war are losers and suckers.
No,
the president has repeatedly disparaged the intelligence of service members and asked that wounded veterans be kept out of our military parades, multiple sources told The Atlantic. Gary.
You know what? The Atlantic.
It's also at the Fox. It's also at, hell, man. It's at Fox News, Gary.
No. You know, they talk about, you guys talk about Tucker Carlson as a Russian softie. he's not a Russian softy. I hear it on your station all the time. Nat Flynn talked about it.
You're grabbing from ass now, man. What are you talking about?
Look, you guys are great. I love all you guys. I love Nat Flynn.
We love you too, Gary, but stay on topic, man. You're sounding like CJ now.
Brian's my favorite buddy of the whole bunch. And you know, you got Sam, young Sam. What a nice sweetheart. When I call up in the morning, she makes me feel welcome. What a sweetheart of a gal.
Well, we'll really get her straight on that, Gary.
you got great people, and I like all you guys.
It's my only strength in life is I attract better people than I. Far better than I.
The fact is, you let people like me on the air, and I do appreciate that. You know.
Well, you're kind of blowing it for the rest of them, Gary. Any final thoughts, man?
You ever talk to CJ at all?
He's stewing on hold right now, Gary.
Oh, okay.
We met him in person. He came out for a drunken, you know, one of our live events at the Jade Monkey, one of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars. And CJ showed up and, you know, not a half bad guy. But then I hear him on shows just propagandizing over and over and over again, Gary.
Well, he needs to calm down a little bit and then understand that people have different thoughts. And I listen to him. I'm a big fan of CJ and everything like that. But he needs to be softening up a little bit. And, you know, he has his way of thinking. You have your ways. I like you guys, even though I disagree with you guys. But you have a right to believe what you believe, you know.
You know, Gary,
real quick before we go, do you think it was right for us to storm the beaches of Normandy 78 years ago to kill the fascists?
No, I think it's a good idea.
So you're down with the anti-fascist Antifa?
No, I don't want to go there. You guys are always trying to trick me at that. I'll see you later. Thank you for putting me in the air.
Trick you again, Gary. Are you that gullible? Do you know yourself that well?
Come on,
we couldn't even trick you into buying drinks that night, Gary.
Oh, but it was a fine fish dinner. Thanks, man.
Yeah, the fish at the packing house. South Milwaukee, up by the air. Can't get fooled again.
Oh, man.
Come back with us. More of your calls.
Stop just asking questions.
844-967-2789.
I don't think Jesus would be very happy with Donald Trump one bit at all.
I was never a fan of John McCain, and I never will be.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Shut up, woman.
You better think about what's trying to do to me. Yeah, think.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Dominic going back to the phones. One of our favorites, Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome back, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. I've been watching on YouTube. I just love it. You guys are very entertaining. You should be on television, you know what I mean? Have your own TV show.
Yeah, like Steve Bannon does.
that guy makes me want to barf, but I got to be polite. I don't get where these Republicans call in and they think you're trying to trick them when you ask them about anti-fascism.
Well, trick them into telling the truth that fascists are a bad thing because, of course, that's sort of their party platform now, Jeannie.
Well, yeah, and then one of the worst guys is the guy down in Florida, and that's his favorite. And it's like, oh my gosh, these guys need to get deprogrammed. They've been listening to Fox and all of our right-wing radio stations that just spew lies nonstop. I don't get it. Well, I sure hope he tunes in to watch live what happened on January 6th, and he'll see all and hear voices of people that he knows, and he just might get the picture. I hope all of your Republican listeners tune that in and watch for themselves and listen very closely, and maybe they'll see the light. That would be a miracle. I would be so excited.
Jeannie, you know, my only regret about the January 6th hearing starting this Thursday, June 9th at 7 p.m., we're going to broadcast them live, is that the former President Trump does not have a Twitter stream to react in real time. You know, when the evidence, when they're accusing him of criminality on national television, the fact that he's just got to sit there and stew.
That's probably good for him. Oh, man. You know,
he's not going to stew, Jeannie. He's going to give it off to his spokesperson who's going to tweet
press
it out
release
anyway.
Every 5 minutes on Truth Social.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Oh, he's such a nightmare that just won't go away, guys. But yep. At least we have you guys to give us happy times. And thank you so much for all of you. You do such a great job in every program that you have. You're a blessing to our state and to other places that they can listen to you. So thanks a lot, guys, and keep up the great work. I'm proud of you.
Well,
bye.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie.
That's I always sweet. Hope that the listeners stick around to the very end because then they get a happy ending as well.
844-967-2789 quickly. I don't know if we got to this last week or not. Louis Gohmert. Remember that cat? He was speaking to Newsmax, according to The Hill, in an interview on Friday. He was asked to comment about the Friday indictment of Peter Navarro by a federal grand jury after the former Trump official failed to comply with the House Select Committee's investigating the riot. Here's what he said, Gohmert. Quote, "It actually puts an exclamation point on the fact that we have a two-tier justice system. If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent, or they're coming after you. They're going to bury you. They're going to put you in a D.C. jail and terrorize and torture you and not live up to the Constitution there." Gohmert responded.
What do you think's going on in the jails? I mean, do you think it's waterboarding or worse? What do you think's happening at the D.C. jail?
Well, it's terrorizing and torturing, according to
Well, they're getting together
Gohmert.
And singing the national anthem every night.
Lamenting the fact that he can't lie to Congress or the FBI.
That is a little sad. You know, what happened when you can't lie to federal officials publicly?
Come on.
BL in Milwaukee, welcome to the big show. What do you got for us? Yes, ma'am. Sounds a little like a ambulance there, but now we can hear you.
Yes, go ahead. How you doing?
I just had to call in to do a fact check of something that Gary from Sussex said. He said that Trump did not disparage veterans by calling them losers and suckers, when it has been well established that he did. And as a matter of fact, among the sources for that information was General John Kelly, who just happened to be Trump's very own chief of staff at the time, and who was with him in Europe when he said it. So
you mean General John Kelly, chief of staff, coffee boy, former employee of the administration, probably has an issue with Trump.
Not a coffee boy, and he had a very clear recollection of what happened. So, you know, please don't let Gary lie like that anymore.
Well, if I recall the story, the problem was Trump was supposed to go out to a World War One era cemetery, and there was some light misting rain, and Trump didn't want to get his hair all frazzled. So he said, why would I want to go out and see a bunch of suckers and losers? And that's what was indelibly sort of imprinted in Kelly's memory is... We've heard it
Absolutely.
Reported.
And Kelly, who had, I believe, now this, I would have to check myself to see if my memory is accurate. But what I do remember is that John Kelly had a son who died in the service of the United States. And so that really hit him hard. He, you know, that's something he remembers vividly.
Well,
you know,
that, BL, I think your memory is accurate, but facts don't really matter to our friends like Gary. Because Gary knows, it's just like, if I don't see it on the tape, then I don't believe it. And as soon as someone finds the tape, then he says, well, it doesn't matter anyways. You know,
can I just
sure.
Say, well,
yes, ma'am.
But can I just say one last thing? It is harmful because there's a lot of well-meaning people who don't have the time to keep up with these things. And their memories are not, you know, they have a lot of other things that they have to remember. So they can be fooled by Gary into thinking, oh, Trump wasn't so bad and he'd never say anything like that and he's really a good guy, none of which is true. So, I mean, I felt it was important just to set the record straight.
Well, that's why we've got the smartest audience around, BL, because people like you call in and do a little real-time fact-checking on our conservative love muffins. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can join us. Fact-check Dom. That happens often around here.
Hey, I can take it.
844-967-2789. I don't have time now to correct the record, but I did get something wrong like a week ago regarding the Uvalde shooter, or at least the guy that dispatched him. But anyways, I got something wrong, but 63% of the time we get it. Right on the dollar. Time. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it.
Where is our General Kelly? He likes to keep a low profile. Look at him sitting in the back. But boy, is he watching. You have no idea. Believe
the big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour, the Monday edition. Fancy Brian, Dominic, got Evan lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. Gentlemen, you know, the Trump team, they're going to counter-program this. January 6th, they got lots of counter-programming in mind. I want to read briefly.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Mike Lindell infomercial that's going to be the counter-programming to the J6 committee hearings.
Don't call it Steve Bannon's a podcast. Is that their counter-programming? He's podcasting it? According to CNN, the proceedings may prove quite damning for former President Donald Trump and also are expected to attract massive media coverage, including Devil Radio, right? Which is why Trump and his allies are desperately trying to provide counter-programming to distract from the hearings.
They call me the ratings machine.
Why would you want to do that? Don't you want the truth to come out and, you know, have your side be told?
Oh, it's a witch hunt, Dom. Very partisan. On Saturday, Rep. Elise Stefanik, the third-ranking member of the House GOP leadership, revealed part of their plan in an interview with Breitbart. You know, that's the go-to source. That or the Steve Bannon podcast.
Don't call it a podcast. I've been here for years.
Steve Bannon.
We're working very closely with President Trump and his team. She also still calls him President Trump and his team on a counter messaging effort, she said, adding that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Rep. Jim Jordan, and really all of the House Republicans will be pushing back in a rapid response fashion.
Ooh.
Now, do you note that Kevin McCarthy suddenly got the vaunted Trump endorsement for reelection?
Yeah, apparently some of the right-wing trolls are not too happy about that. Right on right crime!
Little squid pro quo.
I don't know if this sends a message. It doesn't make any difference if it does or not.
You will see us all over the airwaves. The airwaves will be filthy with conservatives, Dom, and MAGA, Trumpsters. We will be setting the record straight.
Oh, excellent. I look forward to that.
And I'm serious. If you have any moral character about you, you are. We're all in this together.
Now, Stefanik promised they will argue the bipartisan committee's work is illegitimate, and they plan to assert the panel's true goal is to punish political opponents and target patriotic Trump supporters.
Oh, is that what you call seditious conspiracy by the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, perhaps in coordination with the White House and Trump himself? Patriots? Is that what we're doing now?
You know, it's just a matter of vocabulary. You say potato, I say, you know, patriot. I
mean, it's such gaslighting to the nth degree.
Now, Trump could come out of hiding. Trump could go out and start making some media appearances, you know, because he is the rating machine, Dom.
FBI. They call me the ratings machine.
Is he going to take any questions when he goes out there?
Well, maybe on the Steve Bannon podcast.
Don't call it a podcast.
FBI Director Christopher Wray testified before Congress that the federal investigators view January 6th as an act of domestic terrorism. Without Trump's lies that the 2020 election was stolen, there would have been no attempt to overturn the election warranting the investigation. If Trump had accepted his defeat like a big loser, as every other one-term president had, he would not have engaged in the behind-the-scenes attempt to overthrow the election. There would have been no need for Trump on December 27, 2020, to try and enlist the Justice Department, telling then Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen to just say the election was corrupt, despite there being no supporting evidence, and leave the rest to me and the GOP congressmen. The GOP congressmen, co-conspirators, criminal co-conspirators, some would guess. According to contemporaneous notes by Rosen's deputy, Richard Donahue, Rosen reportedly refused, by the way, and the same goes for the January 6th itself. If Trump had recognized his loss, he wouldn't have radicalized supporters with a barrage of lies about the election. Similarly, there would have been no Trump urging his supporters to descend upon the nation's capital for a big protest in D.C. on January 6th, as he promised on a December 19, 2020 tweet.
We'll be wild.
Be there. We'll be wild.
Yeah. See, baby, that's from memory. Don't say I don't have a memory.
Well, just a shaky memory. No, you're great, Dory. Top notch. And of course, there would have been no speech before the attack to his supporters, who were angrily chanting, "Fight for Trump!" We're stuck with a president who lost the election by a lot. We have to live with that for four more years, Trump declared, adding, "We're just not going to let that happen." Right? Now Trump and his allies are despicably planning to counter-program the January 6th hearings that aim to explain to the American people about the efforts to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. It's the very definition of un-American. As Stefanik noted, the people aiding in his effort, including McCarthy and Jordan, who the January 6th committee have subpoenaed, but so far have refused to testify about their knowledge of the events surrounding the January 6th. If Jordan does end up making media appearances, hopefully interviewers will ask the lawmaker questions that elicit the very information the January 6th committee wants to know, such as, what did you discuss with Trump by phone for 10 minutes the morning of the attack? You know, January 6th. Very curious. And it isn't the first time some Republicans have tried to distract from the January 6th committee's public hearings. In July of 2021, you recall the four officers, Dom, and the, you know, heart-wrenching testimony they delivered about how Trump supporters brutally beat them on January 6th. Well, House GOP leaders and a group of right-wing House members held news conferences and appeared in the media where they peddled false and misleading claims, such as that no Republicans had downplayed the attack on the Capitol. None. Whoever downplayed it, that's pshaw. Final thought.
Pretty sure Senator Ron Johnson downplayed it.
You sure, Dory?
Pretty sure.
I doubt many remember what the Republican members of Congress had to say that day, but they can recall the powerful testimony of those brave officers. That will likely be the result this week as well. You know, the counter-programming, it's not going to work in the face of these hearings. The video, the testimony of, let's say, Ivanka against her father, the live testimony, it's all going to be very, very damning. That's my prediction. Choreographed for a TV and radio audience.
You know, I'm thinking about having like maybe a little watch party at the coin or something. I mean, I gotta watch this with a drink in my hand, hopefully with a bunch of other people is kind of what I'm thinking. But there's lots of testimony that's going to come out. And Crudy, you know, one of the things that has always bothered me was Christopher Miller, right? The Secretary of Defense, something, he was Secretary of the Army. I mean, Christopher Miller appointed by Trump after he lost the election, right? Jamming the Pentagon in with a bunch of lackeys just for this cause. And it came across my screen again today, so I'm going to reiterate it for our audience, and we'll take perhaps your calls at 844-967-2789. This is dated January 4th from the Secretary of Defense. Memorandum for the Secretary of the Army. This memorandum responds to your memorandum regarding the District of Columbia's request for District of Columbia National Guard support in response to planned demonstrations from January 5th and 6th. You are authorized and approved the request of support, subject to my guidance below and subject to consultation with the Attorney General as required by Executive Order 11485. So there's an executive order that this relates to as well, issued presumably by the President, because the President issues executive orders. without my subsequent personal authorization. This is the Christopher Miller appointed by Donald Trump to the Pentagon after he lost the election, sending this out regarding the National Guard. The National Guard has not authorized the following: to be issued weapons, ammunition, bayonets, batons, or ballistic protection equipment, such as helmets or body armor, to interact physically with protesters, except when necessary, in self-defense or defense of others, consistent with National Guard rules for the use of force, to employ any riot control agents, to share equipment with law enforcement agencies, to use intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets to conduct ISR or incident awareness and assessment activities, to employ helicopters or any other air assets. You cannot conduct searches, seizures, arrests, or other similar direct law enforcement activity, and you cannot seek to support any non-DC National Guard units. Why would Christopher Miller, the acting Pentagon insert from Trump after he lost the election, put this memorandum out referencing an executive order from the president that the D.C. National Guard could not do all of these things on the day that there was the insurrection? I mean, you got to be freaking kidding me. It seems like a childhood cartoon. You know, we would have got away with it, too, if it weren't for those kisses. This is Scooby-Doo, man. I mean, here is the newly appointed by the losing president, Pentagon chief, saying how you can interact with the National Guard and you must stand down. It's a stand-down order, knowing that what was coming. I want to know what Christopher Miller has to say and if we're going to see any testimony or tapes, recordings from his testimony, because he did testify as well.
Dominic, here, who you should be paying attention to, at least name-wise, this Thursday, I believe she'll be giving live testimony. Her name is Cassidy Hutchinson. She's not the defensive lineman from Michigan, or the sister of the defensive lineman from Michigan competing in the Miss USA contest. But, you know, I think she's going to be a star in her own right, Tom. Former White House staffer Cassidy Hutchinson plays a similar role in the upcoming January 6th hearing as White House counsel John Dean in the Watergate hearings. Uh-oh, Dean went to jail, didn't he? Cassie Hutchinson, a top aide to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, has sat for multiple depositions with the investigators, more than 20 hours. That feels like a long time, Dom.
Sure does.
And is expected to play a starring role in the hearings, according to people familiar with the matter. Hutchinson has provided extensive information about Meadows' activities in trying to overturn the election, the Washington Post reported Saturday. The Post reported late last month that Hutchinson told the committee that Meadows remarked to others that Trump indicated support for hanging his vice president after the rioters who stormed the Capitol on that day, you know, they started chanting, Hang Mike Pence. And apparently, according to the testimony of Hutchinson, Trump thought, that's a great idea. Let's do Hang Mike Pence. Cassidy Hutchinson might turn out to be the next John Dean, said Norm Eisen. You quoted him earlier. He's from the Brookings Institute. Anyways, in May, Politico reported Hutchinson told the select committee that Meadows incinerated documents after a meeting with Rep. Scott Perry, Republican from Pennsylvania. You're supposed to burn the evidence? It's almost like you've got a foreknowledge that something you're doing is wrong when you start burning documents. Hutchinson has recalled for the committee various episodes in the chaotic scramble to sustain Trump's election fraud lie. A former mid-level aide, she kept detailed schedules of the movements in the West Wing and had extensive conversations, you know, with the Chief's chief, Meadows. A little bit more here. Court filings show Hutchinson detailing a meeting in the lead-up to the January 6th between Meadows and House Republican lawmakers in which they discussed delaying the joint session of Congress or altogether preventing the counting of electoral votes so that the state legislatures could select different electors. So there was an alternative coup plan as well, Dom. Hutchinson was described as no longer a figure in Trump's orbit or Republican politics. So she got out. The newspaper had previously reported that Hutchinson said Reps Perry, Matt Gaetz, and Louie Gohmert were warned by the White House counsel office that their scheme to overturn the election was illegal. Like they were forewarned by legal counsel in the White House
Like, when you say illegal, that means illegal?
Like, illegal. I have set a personal goal to pursue a path of civic significance. That's what you said in prior wrestling.
Yeah, sister, you bring it, baby.
Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We always bring it. It's already been brought. 844-967-2789.
By the time the morning of August 13th, it'll be the talk of the world.
Incited the erection.
I had to beat off all this stuff.
Steve Bannon.
It's over. Nothing matters anymore.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, toll free, talk or text at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, another troubling headline in the legal travails of the former President Donald Trump. Former assistant contradicts Trump's sworn testimony.
Ruh-roh.
In a New York affidavit. Remember, he was being held in contempt of court, right? Well, apparently his search wasn't as thorough as he claimed.
No, really?
On Monday, CBS News reporting that a one-time executive assistant to the former President Donald Trump has contradicted a key point he made in a sworn affidavit. That'd mean perjury, right, Dom?
Believe me.
Does that even matter anymore?
No, I think he's got worse yeah. problems and bigger fish to fry.
Don't even think about it.
A contradiction and a key point he made in his sworn affidavit during his response in civil allegations in New York State. Rhoda Graff, who worked 4 years as executive assistant to Donald Trump, cast doubt on the completeness of a sworn affidavit submitted in Trump in May in an effort to clear a judge's finding of contempt, according to Monday's filings by the New York Attorney General's office. Trump was held in contempt April 25th, after claiming he had no documents demanded in the subpoena by investigators for New York Attorney General Letitia James. Her office sought records related to Trump's personal finances, as well as information related to the financing of several properties. As part of the former president's effort to clear the contempt ruling, Trump said in an affidavit, "It has been my customary practice to delegate document handling and retention responsibilities to my executive assistants." The report continued, but in her May 31st deposition, Graff, who worked for Trump for more than two decades, said that statement was very general.
You're a liar, Trump.
It doesn't mean executive assistants handled every document and maintained everything that came out of the office. Trump had an inbox and an outbox, Graff said. If material was sent to him in a folder, Graff didn't think it was any of my position to look inside, she said. Adding that Trump, maybe on the outside, said he would have returned it to so-and-so, whoever gave it to him. Trump ultimately lost his bid to clear his contempt of court ruling, and at the end of last month, he paid $110,000 in fines.
Oh, thank you, Republican
Party. To the courts.
Where do you think he got that money from?
Well, he got it from Republican donors, apparently. Attorneys for James's office have repeatedly indicated recently that the investigation is nearing its conclusion, and that it may lead to an enforcement action in the near future. How near? I'm late. You know, I got a birthday this weekend.
I mean, anytime within the next 10 days would be great. I mean, why drop that while this goes on? I mean, that's exactly what we need. Bring the hammer down all at once.
Well, apparently, Dom, they have not elaborated on what that enforcement action might be. But before that happens, a New York appeals court must decide if Trump, his son Don Jr., and his daughter Ivanka must sit for depositions with James's investigations. The judge overseeing the investigation and a lower appeals court have both sided with James's office, ruling that a December subpoena seeking their testimony was valid. So go give some sworn testimony, Trump, and you've already been contradicted in your affidavit, so no more lying, sir. They might actually get serious about charging you with perjury.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Just line him up. I mean, the more he talks, the more he engages at any level on any topic, the more he ends up burying him, digging his hole a little bit deeper.
Yes. Yes. Now, there is a headline here. Steve Bannon never believed the election would be overturned, but he pushed to get a pardon. You think Steve Bannon set this all up, this whole chain of events?
What a guy like Steve Bannon put at risk the American democracy to try to get his sorry ass out of jail? Yes.
Here is what's being reported at this very minute. Steve Bannon was amongst the most prominent voices pushing Donald Trump's big lie about his election loss on the big podcast. The former White House chief political strategist was the subject of a lengthy profile in The Atlantic, where one of his former 2016 campaign colleagues said Bannon was dependent on the former president for his reputation and his freedom after his arrest for allegedly defrauding investors in a crowdfunded effort to build a wall along the southern border. Now, I heard that one of the jurists, a big Trumpster, effectively jury nullified for the entire jury, and, you know, he didn't get held in civil contempt or whatever. Here is what was said about the alleged former meth head, Steve Bannon. Steve was in on the joke, said Sam Nunberg, who was one of the first hires of Trump's first presidential campaign. He never believed that the election would be overturned. Steve needed a pardon. Nunberg said Bannon's reputation as an intellectual heavyweight was just as phony. The tragedy of Steve Bannon is that when he leaves the White House, he's known as the great manipulator, the intellectual heavy of the international populist uprising, Nunberg said. But still, he ends up in the fetal position at Donald Trump's feet. Nunberg's Jennifer Senior asked if the quote was on the record, and Nunberg explicitly said yes. Or as he's quoted here, F yeah, he said.
I'm a street fighter.
Yeah, wants to be on the record with that one. Wants to be very clear. F yeah, that one's on the record. Put me down for Steve Bannon finds himself in the fetal position at the feet of Donald Trump seeking a pardon. And he pushed the big lie. He pushed all of this really for Steve Bannon's.
Well, but it isn't. But that's how you manipulate Trump, right? You go along, you nod your head. Yeah, man, you totally got screwed on this, dude. Yeah, you've lost every case. Yeah, the Supreme Court turned you down. But you know what? You got screwed. I wouldn't put up with that. Don't take that. You know, it's like the guy is goading, you know, is telling him, egging him on. Do it, do it, do it. And that's what Bannon did, and that's what ultimately what Trump did. But they're all screwed, man. They are all going to go down, every single one of them. So he can talk all sorts of trash he wants on his podcast, and Donald Trump can Truth Social whatever he wants as well. The facts are going to be the facts, and the DOJ is slowly, ever so slowly, tightening that net. They're going down, man. They're going downtown to the underground.
You know, I have a hard time respecting podcasters like Steve Bannon. Not nearly as cool as doing live radio, is it?
Not nearly at all. Not
now,
even close.
Now, we may, you know, book a few guests during the course of the week. But one we'll I know happens. For sure, Democratic Party Chair of the great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, joining us Thursday for a preview of the January 6th committee hearings that begin birthday week for both Dom and myself. You know, great hearings, a trip to talk trash on Foxy News, and then, like, what, 4 days of hearings next week as well.
My birthday is next week, man. Not this week. Birthday
Happy
month.
Flag Day to you and Trump. Thank you all for listening. Fancy Brian, you are sexy and red. Evan, thank you. Dom, thank you. Have a great night, everyone. That's it. Go home now.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
If I were to guess, I have one name in mind.
It's Enrico Palazzo!